Hi, everybody. This is Susie Orman, and soon we'll be launching my new podcast, Women and Money. Don't you miss it. On the show, besides having a lot of fun, we're going to answer financial questions from listeners, and maybe, just maybe, we'll even put you on so we can have a chat. Wouldn't you just love to talk to me? So be sure to check out Women and Money on Apple Podcasts, podcastone.com, and the new Podcast One app.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. I tried to get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. You right, Drew? What's going on, buddy?
I feel shitty.
Oh.
Yeah. Weird.
Man.
Very weird.
Is that from My Fair Lady?
I feel shitty. Oh, so shitty.
I feel shitty and bloated and sad.
Yes,
that's you, Drew.
That's me.
I gotta say,
all I want is
you need a period because you need something to hang your hat on.
Well, I'm on the, you know, you've been talking to Vinny lately. I've been on this extreme Vinny diet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's making me aggressive.
Oh.
Which is weird. Like eating meat all day, it's very strange.
Testosterone levels going through the roof.
Well, and I deadlifted more than I've lifted since I was 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Deadlift is simply getting it from the floor up and getting basically your groin up under you, locked out, so to speak, you know. What is the number of the deadlift?
It wasn't the number. I was deadlifting 300 pounds, or 295 or something, which something I did not do in my youth either. I could not quite manage. I did it like 8 times. And I was like,
wow.
It just kept going. I'm like, what the weird. Weird. And I just screamed at somebody earlier, like uncannily lost my shit. And I thought, oh, dude, something is really. And then my wife was complaining that I was being aggressive and she didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, something's off.
What does that mean, you were being aggressive and she didn't like it?
We got into a conversation about something that normally I would just let pass. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. I just got into it.
What do you mean?
Something about nothing, you know, about some scheduling or, you know, I would just normally just go, And I'm like, I gave it back. I'm like, no.
Yeah, let me say this that I've noticed, because I've been putting together some pretty good days. And
with what?
Life.
Vinny? Oh, good.
No, not with Vinny, just sort of proclamation of sort of not reacting, just sort of trying to let stuff go a little bit more, just kind of keep walking and stuff like that. I have found, for me personally, the sleep cycle interrupted or sleep deprivation, I know everyone knows this, but for me, very impactful.
Yes.
Not a 20% gain or loss. It's 80%.
Yeah.
I can be the difference between me being agitated or short or lashing out or whatever can simply be the difference between a restful night's sleep and something that's been truncated.
I think your next book needs to be Grandpa Adam's Truths. Grandpa Adam Speaks the Truth.
Thank you. Yes. Because
I need my sleep.
No, I notice whole periods when I'm shooting a TV show and having to be somewhere all the time. These are whole months of agitation. And you think like, well, were you agitated about something every day? And it's like, yes, because I'm sort of off the sleep calendar or the clock all day, every day for 4 months. And yes, I am agitated in that entire 4 months.
I completely agree with you. And part of my thing lately, but until recently, in fact, has been that this eye thing I've been dealing with has been interrupting my sleep like crazy for 8 months.
Yeah. Also, there's a very interesting, not very interesting because you've heard me talk about it a lot, but a thing of what Grandpa Carolla, one of the things Grandpa Carolla would like to pass down to his children, one of the things I'd like to pass along is there are things you do. There's things that are part of your job. There are things that are sort of you go beyond, you know, above and beyond your normal list of duties and things you have to do. And it's all good. But understand, when the boss man says, like, hey, there's this thing, and I don't want to see it, and I don't want it to happen, have that leapfrog to the top of your list. Because one thing that I deal with a lot is we did a whole big photo shoot at the other warehouse, and there were tons of people running around, and it was all a big to-do on a Thursday, well into the evening. And then I had to cut out early and go to Madison, Wisconsin on Friday morning, and then off to Toronto on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, I'm traveling, I'm tired, I'm this, that, and the other. And I have this weird thing, which is this is my shop. It's getting messed up. People are standing around eating pizza, and the toppings are falling off onto the carpet and stuff. It's all driving me nuts. But here's what I know will drive me nuts. When I come back on Monday and I find a bunch of water bottles with two sips out of them just strewn about everywhere.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And it's not about money. It's about resources and waste. And it's about 10 things that all fall under the shade of the tree that drive me nuts. It's ugly American. It's wastefulness. It's people not appreciating. It's people not caring. Like, it's just really, there's places where people are dying and we're just taking a hit and throwing the bottle down and walking away and whatever it is. It drives me nuts.
Yep.
And I said to my guy, Rob, I just said, hey, listen, I'm not going to be back here until Monday. He was sort of hanging out and cleaning up. I said, whatever you do, you take these bottles. Everyone is going to do what I don't want them to do, which is they're going to take two sips out of their bottles. They're going to put on the table. They're going to go. They're going to get distracted. Yeah. They're not bad people. You take all these bottles at the end of the day, the following Friday morning. They'll all be strewn about. You take these bottles. You go out front, you just dump them in the cactus. Just dump them right in that cactus planter and then throw them in the recycling thing because I do not want to see this. And Friday came and went. I was out of town. I didn't go over there on Saturday or Sunday. I was still out of town. And then I talked to Rob like on Monday and I was like, where are you? And he's like, I'm over at the shop. I'm cleaning up or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And then I walked in the shop at, you know, noon and there were the water bottles. And I was like, Rob, the water bottles. And then they always tell you, you know, what happened. Like, those used to be over here, and then we moved them, you know. And it's like, yeah, I know. And then they tell you what they were doing instead of. But it's always like, just, I'm not saying you're laying around, you know, you're listening to Bob Marley and smoking out of a hookah. I know you're doing things. I know you've just listed what you did and you had to take the garbage out or whatever. You had to mop the floor, like whatever it is. But guess who didn't talk about any of that?
Right.
And guess who specifically talked about these bottles? And guess who's getting into it now? And guess who's now sort of generally agitated? Because I said to you, this is what I don't want to happen.
Hmm.
What is that? And it's weird that many people do not have that ability
to hear what's the priority is and put it there.
It's literally like you'll go in and go, hey, see all this junk in the back? I want it out of here. I want it cleaned up. I want whatever. And then you go somewhere and you come back 2 hours later and they're cleaning up they're cleaning out the fridge.
The only way I can understand is if you had overwhelmed them with other commands you'd forgotten about or something.
No, it's never that. It's just I'm doing what I want to do and it's not being lazy. It's just
I can't understand that.
It's really weird. And well, do you want to get into this again? And they go, never again. And I go, well, then.
It's being responsive to task mastering. And some people are resistant to it. And I just go, what kind of, you know, dive in that pile of shit. Well, what kind of dive? Full gainer, half gainer? What would you like?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in. I don't even think about it. Although a lot of people, you're not the boss of me, man. That's what you think the priority is. And it may not be a, not be an overt thing like oppositional defiance. It's just sort of an attitude in their own thinking.
Maybe. I don't know how it works. I just know it works all, that way a lot, and it's weird, and I can't quite figure that out.
Here's how.
But all I'm saying is if you say, told the story, but maybe not to you in a while. Just out of the blue, many years ago, Jimmy pulled me aside, or we were doing something, and he said, "You know, I was listening to your morning radio show a lot, and you say awesome a lot." Mm. And I said, "I do." And he said, "Yeah, like someone calls in and says, I'm a firefighter." And you go, "That's awesome." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "You don't say awesome in real life. And I keep hearing you repeat it on the air.
It's a great note.
It's kind of a bump."
Yeah.
And I said,
"Taken."
Now, I felt like a little ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, then the next part is you get a little defensive. Like you start thinking, I don't say awesome. Yeah. Well, when's the last time I said awesome? Check the tapes, you know. And then all this stuff kind of washes over you. And then you just go, all right, you were listening. You heard me say awesome 4 times in 8 minutes. And you're right. And then I go back to work the next morning. And my greatest fear of all time. Greatest, more than badgers, is landing on my head. Like more, my fear greater than me pulling a clothes hamper, lifting a clothes hamper up and having a badger jump out and land on my head, is Jimmy Kimmel saying to me 4 weeks later, "Hey, remember I was telling you about the, you kept saying awesome on the air?" And I go, "Yeah." "You're saying it more than ever." Like that is my, that's my greatest fear. Is this guy just gave me a note, and now we've done more of it, yeah. Or it has not, has gone unchanged. That's my greatest fear.
Yeah, I get it.
Most people, a lot of people I'm encountering have no fear.
Well, that's what's interesting.
Of that.
That's funny. I don't
like,
know. Lynette
cleaned the fridge the other day. It's been a while. But she's like, "What's going on with that fridge? I had to put a note in that fridge." I said, "Do you know how many times I've had a conversation here about get the fucking fridge douched out? Like, get it douched out. I don't want to talk about it again. If your food's in there, get it out. If you've seen a pizza box in there for 2 weeks, get it out. Just everyone's deputized. Everyone do it. And she's like, "Yeah, why don't they do that?" I was like, I don't know. I've had the conversation regarding the refrigerator that's 11 feet from us 37 times.
Yeah.
And she said... I said, "You have to kind of fear having that conversation again. You have to have a fear of it.
But
and she said, "Oh, yeah, those guys fear it." And I said, "Oh, no, they don't. But no, of course they don't, or they wouldn't."
They don't think to fear it. And what's maybe
they should fear it.
Yeah, but flip around, Adam. Mm. What's pathological about us that we do fear it? Flip it. What's wrong with us?
Being successful and not having my boss hate me. That's what's
no. Maybe it's our low self esteem stuff. Maybe it's our low self esteem things that naturally have us doing that.
I
read that recently somewhere that the self esteem thing really has significant effects on this kind of adjustment.
I completely agree.
And so we're sort of abnormal.
Said, I feel like if this person ever brings this up again, I will kill myself.
And I can relate to that fear. But why should we have that kind of dire concern about somebody else's judgment of us? We should be able to go. We should be able to go, I suppose he's right. I'll probably stop that. But then not stop it because it requires some adjustment and attention. And the only way we pay the attention is if we're scared shitless of disappointing that person. It's weird, right? It's not necessarily normal.
No, you're right. We're not normal.
Yeah.
I wish everyone was not normal.
Here's something not normal. Mm. Omaze. They're giving away the sixth.
Transition.
Yeah. Model 3 Tesla ever made. It belongs to Kimball Musk. Jimbo Kimball, Elon Musk's brother, Kimball. He proceeds benefit Big Green. It's a learning gardens and food literacy program. Omaze is offering once-in-a-lifetime experiences and prizes. All you got to do is support a great cause, and you have a chance to win. Donate as little as $10, but donate as much as you want, and double your odds. That's right. Double your odds for winning with the code ADS. So what you do is you check out all the experiences that Omaze is offering at omaze.com/ADS, omaze.com/ADS, and then you enter for that chance to win. And when you use that code ADS, you double your chances. And of course, even if you don't win, you'll have contributed to a worthy cause. And some of these experiences are really cool and interesting, and they're once in a lifetime. They involve celebrities. Throw your hat in the ring and also support a good cause. It is Omaze, omaze.com/ADS.
All right. Let's see. Steven.
I still feel shitty, though. I don't feel, I'm wondering if I'm unhappy and irritable from this diet. So I
think you're putting too much into your diet.
Okay. So I'm just unhappy?
Well, I mean, let's.
I'm bothered by everything. I mean, worse than you, I think, if that's possible. But I mean, like the homeless situation is bothering me, and the politics are bothering me. Everything's like troubling me. It's troubling me, like, deeply.
Well, my lot or my whatever is that I have. I think what it is, I mean, you know, it can be a few things, but in general, my feeling is this. Mm. I have a very crazy schedule that's very busy and like very precise, and I'm sort of I get the short end of that stick. It doesn't involve, it involves oftentimes, not all the time, oftentimes involves a lot of travel, not a lot of sleep, a lot of whatever.
I may need more of that. I kind of feel like I need more of that.
When I stop and take a moment and say to somebody, hey, Rob, I don't want to see these water bottles when I come back in 4 days. Yeah, yeah. Make sure they're gone. Dump them out. And then I stop and I go, dump them out in the can. You know, and by the way, we've discussed it before, whatever. I just I don't want to deal with it. Make sure it's gone. When I come back and experience it, I feel like I've been betrayed.
I know the old Adam would go, listen, I don't want to do this, but if I come back, the bottles are still here, you're fired.
Well, I may implement that. But what I'm saying is I feel like you have forced me to waste more of my own time, and it's at a premium because I'm going to revisit this now. Mm. But it also feels like an emotional betrayal. Like,
yeah, I get it.
Didn't we discuss this? And then didn't I explain it was important? And then how come
– it's confusing.
How come I can't make what's important to me important to you?
I know.
That's but Rob's a great guy. Rob does tons of good stuff, and Rob saves me lots of money and everything else. I'm just saying, like, if I – take a moment and scratch out something specific.
So I was talking about being unhappy, and we're talking about you again. Anyway,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're unhappy. You know why? Because you're a bottomless well of unhappiness.
No, that's
you're always
not true.
Coming in here. I'm not feeling right. I had some
the period
jerky
thing.
Earlier
that's
today.
The that's different. That's
yes,
different. This feels like an existential like something. I don't know why.
You know why?
Why?
You're watching too much news. You're following too much Twitter. Yep. You're too engaged. Yep. You need to start taking some long walks.
Yeah.
You need to break off. I must say the one thing I look forward to, or one aspect of travel that I look forward to, is not like I'm literally, although I'm trying to escape it, but I'm sitting in Madison, Wisconsin in a green room behind the stage. And, you know, I have Mike Oggs go, hey, did you hear about this whole Sean Hannity, Jimmy Kimmel thing? And I'm like, no, I have no idea what's going on with Sean Hannity and Jimmy Kimmel. Now, he's brought it to my attention, which is a thing, not Mike's fault, but I do like the part where you travel and it's just, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Your problem is you bring your phone everywhere and you're on your phone, and that's taking your troubles with you.
Yeah.
I would say try to get off of that. It can do you
no good.
Well, it'll never work. It's a math that never works. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
But it almost feels like I'm needing like a change in focus or what I'm doing or something.
Look, if you're gay, you say the word. We're not judging.
No. I mean, you and me, man. I'm gay for somebody.
I'd like to start a gay kibbutz. I would like me and you and Kevin Hench and Nick Santora.
Kimmel?
Kimmel, he's busy, though. I feel like we got a little more time. But, yeah, Kimmel can get in on it. I'm going to hand-select a few guys, and we just start our own gay butts.
That changed my whole attitude just thinking
about it. I think it changed. Whatever that argument, that dust-up you had with your wife over nothing.
Oh, that won't happen.
Or those things. You know the worst wife conversations? Gary's going to have these starting. Oh, he already started. That's right. Here's it. The worst one is when you do, I had this one with Lynette, which is I go, it was like Thursday night or something. I was going, Jesus Christ, I got to go to, got to leave Burbank. I leave here at 9 o'clock, go to Salt Lake City, take a connector flight to Madison, do the show in Madison, then drive back, drive to Chicago that night after the show, and then get up at 6:30. And then she just jumps in and goes, Madison's not on the calendar. And I said, I think it's on the calendar. She said, it's not. And I'm like, all right. I was lamenting this horrible schedule with the – it's 15 degrees in Madison, and we got to drive from Madison to Chicago that night. Now I'm getting defensive about it being on the calendar.
Yeah.
It's a chick thing. Then you have to do the part where you go, I don't know how to access my own calendar, but I'm assuming it's on the calendar since Matt's pretty good about the calendar, and we run off the calendar. And the next thing you know, you're having a slight argument about the calendar. We're in the middle of help me lick my wounds discussion, and now there's someone's being accused of not putting something on the calendar, but it's on the calendar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
I think I do that to her about 5 times a week.
All right, well, that's right.
All right. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feeling better?
No.
Okay,
any more talk.
Steven, 32, Sacramento.
Hey there, H-Man. I am let me just take you off the Bluetooth there. I hope you can hear me all right.
We got you.
Oh, wow, I am so thrilled to be speaking to you. The warrior philosopher, I must say. And Dr. Drew, you know, I'd really take your guys' advice to heart. Dr. Drew, I make my bed every morning, first thing when I wake up.
Nice.
Well, H-Man, I'm all about the long walks, and, you know, instead of just, like, having to be in perpetual, meaningful relationships, my go-to move is the self-improvement.
Good.
Gosh, I really didn't even expect to get on here, guys, so I hope you'll bear with me. I'm a little nervous. I'm starstruck over the line here. So
we need a pop shield on his phone, a windshield.
Oh, I know, right? Let me speak. Maybe if I speak back a little bit, that'll be better.
That's better.
I am so sorry, guys.
It's all right.
I hope that's better. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my question here is, I've got kind of a tumultuous relationship with my mother. I haven't spoken with her in 9 years, almost 10 here. And that's another thing I wanted to touch on, Ace Man, is when you talk about, you know, parents that are kind of uninterested in being parents and who are just really depressed and sleeping during the daytime all the time. That was me, dude. That was my childhood in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so, you know, my mom has kind of this attitude of like, well, it's, you know, in the past and let's let bygones be bygones. And she's been contacting me lately, and, you know, I just am kind of thinking about, it's kind of been bugging me, you know. I usually just don't really think about it. I go to work, and I stay busy, and when she, I've kind of realized that when she contacts me, it kind of bothers me a little bit, and I feel like I should sit down and, I don't know, maybe just, I don't even know that there's really going to be anything constructive that I can do with it. But, you know, maybe say, hey, like, here's kind of my issues, my grievances, and, you know, you'd be working your way back up to a zero if you wanted to move forward, again, to use one of your sayings, Ace Matt.
Well, so, that was actually the great William Refrigerator Perry told me when
this
I was,
is true.
When I was fishing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I made my way back up to a zero. Now, so here's the thing, or here's what I would sort of recommend, which is, the relationship, it's hard to have a traditional parental relationship when you never had the base of a parental traditional relationship, because there's no template and there's really nothing to go off of. It's sort of a weird thing going, hey, see that Budweiser commercial where the father and the son are building the deck and at the end they crack a Budweiser and they hug each other and then the mom comes out with potato salad and like, can't we just do that? And it's like, well, no, like I can't do that with the neighbor because we don't Yeah. It'd be weird, yeah, right? Like, yeah, we don't have any of this, yeah, from the past.
From the beginning, yeah.
So, right, so then the question is like, well, what kind of relationship can you have based on no base? And the answer is cordial.
Yeah.
Like sort of professional, like in a weird way.
You can have, you know, she still thinks of you as her son and whatever distortions that she has in terms of her own mothering. She still feels something towards you. And so you can say to yourself, well, I'm a good person. And in order to be, you know, part of that is being a good son to this woman that was my mother. I got to go do what I got to do to be a good son, even though I may get nothing out of this relationship.
I also have something else. Hold on. I got something else to say about it. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Tax season is here. Identity thieves are at it again, filing fake tax returns with stolen information. Everyone's vulnerable.
See all the Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg testimonial in front of Congress.
Look out. Boy. Southwest is particularly bad. Nevada's the worst. In today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in, and once they get in, they steal your identity. You don't need that. Fair to that, I say. I think Zuckerberg's tribe would say fair to that. New LifeLock identity theft protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices that you may not even know about and certainly can't fix. If there is a problem, their agents will work to fix it. They are the industry standard. They're the best. They're LifeLock. Drew.
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off.
You know, Stephen, the other thing that you'll find interesting, or that you'll probably find consistent or true, which is you sort of expect these people to, well, hey, now you're a grandparent, or now I'm an adult and you're an adult, and now we're going to have this kind of relationship. And it's like, no, this is the same person that ignored you when you were 9.
Right.
Now you're 32, and it's the exact same person. Don't expect them to be super attentive at 32. Now, there are rare instances, mostly of substance abuse, where people go, I was so out of my mind on painkillers. That's all I knew. Right. And I'm sorry. And I've been through I called you on my 9th step sobbing because that. And I want to reconcile because it's not who I was, you know, whatever.
Well, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
She's all in the 12-step program. She used to take me to her NA meetings all the time. That's probably the single place we've spent the most time together in one setting would be AA and NA meetings. So she's all about that.
Well, then get real honest with her, and if she has an issue with it, just say, hey, take that to your sponsor. This is how I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you're 100% right on all counts, guys.
Well, thanks. That's our job. but Stephen, the thing is they are – you know, I think about it, I like to talk about myself or my relationship with my mom, but I think my mom thinks we're having a relationship based on whatever her wiring is or what she's capable of. We don't have a relationship, but in her mind, this is a progression of our old relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they can do. They can do what they're able to do. They're older versions of the one who didn't care about their kids when they were younger.
I got versions of the same sort of abuse that I got earlier. Versions of
when your parents got older.
Yep.
Yeah, but you deserved it.
Fuck you.
I was a
true car, buddy.
I'm a good boy.
True car.
I had potential.
MSRP, you might know what that stands for, but what does it mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. Confusing everybody. Well, now we have True Price. Just like the name says, it is the true price, what you actually pay. It's from True Car. Includes fees, accessories. Before you get to the dealership, you see what others paid for the same car you want. Look at the scattergram. Lock in a price. You know that's a price for an actual vehicle on a True Car certified dealer's lot. And all those dealers are competing for your attention, for your business. So you know it's a competitive price. The certified dealers set that true price competitively so they win your business. So you get to see fees, accessories, everything what you pay. You know the price you're going to pay. You know the car, and the car is there, and it's competitively priced. When you're ready to buy new or used, just visit TrueCar, and you'll enjoy that confident, much more confident car buying experience. Again, it's competitive. It's locked in. It's an actual vehicle, new or used. Some features not available in all states.
Yeah, so your mom was probably a little more active, and my mom was a little more passive.
Yes.
So what you're going to get is more of it as an adult, and what I'm going to get is just standard procedure, which is kind of nothingness.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad said something about a year and change ago, which was interesting. It was kind of nice, but it was also kind of telling. He just went, he's, I don't know, 85. I was like 52, and he went, I want to know what's going on with you. Like, I.
He said that?
Well, he basically said, from this point on, I'm interested.
Okay.
I want to know about this stuff, which a little bit of an admittance of guilt, which is like saying, like, formally.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, yeah.
And then you rejected.
No. It was
you
fine.
You withheld.
No. I told him about, I race cars. I like racing cars. You know,
and
these
he
things
went,
that. he snores into his mouthpiece of his trumpet. What I'm saying is it's a weird proclamation to have on your 84th and a half year on the planet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's see. You guys should know that live stand-up, May 17th, Agora Theater, Cleveland, Ohio. May 18th, Royal Oak Music Theater outside of Detroit. Come say hi. Live doing a stand-up special. That is the Aladdin Theater. Tickets sold out for the first show, but the second show at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, June 9th. Live shows, just go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where we're playing live. Drew, what do you got?
Just everything at DrDrew.com. The woman that is my guest on Dr. Drew podcast, you told me, Gary.
Lillian Garcia.
Lillian Garcia, that's right.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla, for Dr. Drew saying, mahala.
This week on the Koi Pond.
Yeah, Buddhist monks were like out on the edge. They were living so fast.
Dude, they were counting stars. Do you know how boring your life has to be?
1,000. 2,000. 3,000. When you breathe air, is it really there? I don't know. Life, like a bull, may cause fire in the heart. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. Shit, let me start over. 1.
Wake up. Oh, remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes and Podcast One.